Wake up! Wake up, Cole!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, good morning. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. And my goodness, it's getting heated between the two sides of Major League Baseball. I feel like this story changes daily, and because it changes daily, I bring it up daily. When are we going to have baseball back? And it isn't about safety, it's about money. This is a repeated thing we have every single day when it comes to these two sides. But apparently it's getting heated between the owners and the players' union. Here's where we stand today. So it's the same, if you've been listening to this or been following this story, it's the same situation. It's that the two sides want their thing, and that hasn't changed. The players want prorated per game what their contract states. If you play 100 games, I want my check per game to be exactly the same pre-COVID. The owners want some sort of salary reduction because they're not going to have the revenue from the fans in the stands. Same story, right? But here's where it's getting heated. So yesterday we told you that there was a proposal from the players. And it said, we figured this out that we could play 114 games. 114. It'll start in July and run all the way to Halloween. And we'll give you the extra couple of teams in the playoffs, but we have 114. Of course they want 114 games, wouldn't you? Right? If you were getting 100,000 per game or some whatever it is, you'd want as many games in 2020 as you possibly could fit in the schedule. Right? That's what you want. And the owners are saying, well, listen, that's all said and good, you know, but we have no money. There's not going to be any income. How are we supposed to pay you these high salaries when we're not generating any money? Or very little money. To say they're not generating any money is stupid. They're going to generate some money. So now the latest is that the owners, in a proposal that has not been sent to the union but kind of leaked through the media, they said, well, how about this? Why don't we play 50 games? How's that? 50. By the way, 50 is 31% of the season, of a regular season. I think the players are like, okay, yeah. And the owner said, look, you want to play 50 games at your prorated rate? All right, we can do that. How about 50? Now, you like to think that there's a negotiating tactic here and the answer is somewhere in the middle, but we will see.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. So again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, it is getting a little bit heated between the owners and the players. This is expected, but I just cannot stress enough how horrible this is from a PR standpoint. This is a mess. This really is a mess. Listen, I don't care if it's 50 games. I don't care if it's 100. All right. I'm at a point where I want to see baseball come back in some capacity, of course. And I don't care about the money. I don't care if Bryce Harper gets his per game rate or if Blake Snell gets his per game rate. I don't care. I don't care about that. I want to see baseball come back. Now, I know that they don't care that I care about the business side, right? The union does that they care about their players and players only, and the owners have to care about their bottom line. But it feels like we're not close. That's the thing. Now, we may be close, and we don't know, because, again, we're not really privy to what's going on between the negotiations other than what gets leaked. And what gets leaked could be filtered, and it, you know, could be secondhand. But it doesn't look like these two sides are harmonious in the idea of coming back. Come hell or high water, we're going to be back on the diamond. I think there is a feeling that I'm getting between the two. Like, if you went through the 94 strike, right? If you went through the potential lockout that was going to occur in the early 2000s, when we had another labor strife between the two sides, around 2003, I think, right? There was another contentious battle. It feels like that, and it's not supposed to be that. We're not talking about a new collective bargaining agreement. We're talking about trying to come back during a global pandemic. So when you have these owners now that are saying, fine, you want your money? Fine. You want your per game rate? Fine. But now here's our proposal, 50 games. Well, that limits them on the other end because they know every game that is played without money is costing them, and they'd rather have it not cost them. I guarantee you, when the owners saw the player proposal that said 114 games, the owners said, no chance is that happening. No chance. I mean, they're looking at the economics and saying, and if you were to believe, and I listen, this look, I don't know what their books say, right? One of the things about owners of these teams is the players have always said, check the books. If you check the books, you'll see how, well, I know this, it's common sense. If you don't fill Yankee Stadium up with 45,000 people, that's a significant revenue loss. Very significant. If you don't fill Fenway Park, if you don't fill Dodger Stadium, heck, if you don't put butts in the seats at Tropicana Field, all right, this is lost revenue. All right, now how much do the owners have on other deals and other ends? Okay, yeah, they're going to make stadium sponsorships, especially with the games on TV, broadcasting rights, things like that. Of course, there's revenue coming in. Okay, but you're not going to convince me that no tickets, no concessions, no parking, no merchandise on site, that's not going to have a significant impact on the books for the 2020 season. The idea that the union says otherwise, it says, there's no reason why we shouldn't get our per game rate because it's all good money. It's not true. That's not true. I'm sorry. That's not true. But how not true is it? It's not like football where before a ticket is even sold, NFL owners can pay the salary cap, right? With the money from broadcasting rights alone, they can pay the salary cap. It's not like that. So what is it? Well, that's what the union wants you to find out. Is they want you to know in some way if the owners would just tell you. But to go to bring a proposal of 114 games and the counter proposal from the owners, which wasn't really a proposal. I want to make that clear. They didn't actually deliver this, but it kind of got leaked that they were toying with this idea of setting up a 50 game. Can you imagine? That's 64 games less than the players want. So just, I mean, simply do the math, right? I mean, if you're making $100,000 per game, right? And the owner said, yeah, how about we do 61 games less than that? Right? What is that? 6.1 million? Right? I mean, it's, again, these two sides will probably have something worked out, but it's getting nasty. And I don't like getting nasty, especially when we want baseball to come back. And as we've said all along, and it bears repeating, because, again, it's an important aspect of this when you talk about how, what the public relations angle of this is, right? This isn't something we are relating to, right? I mean, I feel like whenever I talk to anybody, right, when I reconnect with friends, right, I reconnected with a friend from Colorado about a week ago. When I reconnect with when I talk to my brother, right, or I talk to a friend here in Tennessee, we all come with how our businesses have been affected by COVID, right? I mean, are you working from home? Are you furloughed? Is half your staff furloughed? Right? We all have these conversations. So imagine, here's the players going, well, we want exactly what we make every time we take the field. In a world where, you know, people are having to take less money or losing some aspect of their job, whether maybe they lost hours, maybe they lost pay, maybe they're losing benefits, right? Maybe some vacation time has to be pushed back whatever it is, right? Whatever all of us have been affected by. Some of you haven't been affected at all. Some of you have been affected dramatically. And it's a bad PR look for baseball, where it's not about safety. It's not about the idea of concern for our families, or we're going to be sequestered in hotels. It's not that. It's money and economics on a level that most Americans can't fathom. And if they don't reach an agreement, if they don't come together on this, I can't. For people who love the game, I mean, really love the game. And I mean, like, you know, you think, first of all, you think about the writers and the broadcasters that you know that just love baseball, live and die with baseball. Like Tim Kirchhoff of ESPN, right? I mean, just like every time he opens his mouth, he talks baseball, you feel the love of the sport for him. I mean, just I love that. When you love something so much that you share it the way you share it as a media personality, I can really get behind that. It's not just a job, it's a passion, you know, that kind of thing. It's gonna be a very difficult time. Because you wanna see the games on the field, you wanna see the players play. And it's coming down to two sides that never have trusted each other and never really get along in these negotiations. And now, again, we can't even decide on how – we're not even in agreement on how many games should be played. Well, 82, 114, 50, whatever.
It just seems like – I mean, yeah, it just seems like they're drifting further apart.
Yeah, right. It doesn't feel like we're close.
I mean, owners come at it with the – what? First, they came out with an 80-game schedule – players
82.
Go
82. And the players went, yeah.
Players go, 114. And the owner's like, 50.
Yeah, 50. And that's, you know, it's funny because, again, when it comes to these labor negotiations, it can come out of nowhere, right? Like one day you could be like, boy, they really hate each other. And then tomorrow they'd be like, well, we came to an agreement. Because in the end, you don't have to like each other to come to an agreement. You don't have to suddenly get along. You can still be ticked off at the other side and still go, yeah, but you know what? We're still going to do this.
Whatever.
Whatever. Right? 70 games, fine. All right? We'll do it that way.
Sold.
Sold. And that's all you need. You don't need them to be pals. You just need them to agree on how many games they're going to be.
And I guess on top of that, they need to agree how much they're going to get paid per game.
Personally, I don't care. Like, I don't care if it's 50. I don't care if it's 100. I mean, like, obviously, I'd love to see more, but I don't care, right? But, I mean, I don't like the idea of having baseball extend to Christmas. I'm not really a big fan of that.
We can't have that.
Right? So I'm not a big idea that we'll just start the season in July and roll all the way through the holiday cheer. I don't think I need baseball that far in my calendar.
Yeah, but what is kind of funny, though, is that we have moved away from Arizona and Florida being the only two spots that we can have baseball.
Yeah, that is true.
We have moved away from that. So, I mean, I guess that's progress.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I love the idea of having these games in your local market, right?
Right.
Even if fans can't go. Because I think there is something where if you live in the Bronx, let's say, and you know the Yankees are playing, you know, down the road or whatever, even if you can't go, it's just there's something about that normalcy that's coming back. You live in Boston, and the players are at Fenway Park, and even if nobody's there and there's no roar when you walk by or, you know, when you hang around that area, that's okay. As long as you feel like they're home, they're here, there's got to be some feeling of normalcy rather than like it's another game in Phoenix that I'm watching from my couch in Dorchester. Right? I mean, there is something, I guess, psychological for the fans that will be better if they're here in town, right? Than if they were playing in some campus environment. But at the same time, that's where you're going to end up if you keep doing this and you haven't started the season in August or September yet, because you're not going to play in Fenway Park in November or December. All right. So the further you go out, the more likely are you're going to be sequestered in some sort of campus environment come wintertime. And that's where we're at right now. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue that conversation. NBA's got a vote on Thursday about how they're coming back. We'll have that for you as well as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. There's kind of some sad news out of college football. Justin Ross, who is a wide receiver of Clemson, you might remember him from the national championship game a few years ago against Alabama, where he had six catches for 153 yards against the Crimson Tide in their 44-16 victory. He also had a touchdown. This story is not a common, but it feel like I've heard this story, this kind of story before. He's at a spring practice just before the COVID shutdown. He suffers a stinger. They go to get him, give him some x-rays to check him out. So his neck hurts. They give him an x-ray and they find out he has a fusion in his neck and spine that he's had since birth, but nobody knew about. So now his 2020 season is over. His football career could be over. And he's going to have surgery later on this week. This is a promising talent. He was going to be a first-round pick. He was also going to be extremely instrumental in the Clemson passing game this upcoming season. And so now is at least this year, it's done. Dabo is optimistic, you know, he can, maybe something will happen, but I don't know, man, these kind of injuries, I wouldn't mess around with them.
Yeah, I would stay optimistic though.
Oh, I would too. I mean, there was a point that Mike Williams had the same kind of thing and he missed a season and he came back.
But I mean, just because, I mean, he's been playing with it beforehand and then, you know, surgery is supposedly supposed to correct things.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When you play with something you don't know, it's different than when you play with something you know.
Do you think he's going to be more hesitant to go across the middle?
Well, I mean, yeah, right? I mean, if you're doing something and then a doctor says you shouldn't be doing that anymore, like you're doing this to yourself, you should not be doing whatever it is. Like, let's say you're running. Let's say you jog every day and you don't think of it. And you go to the doctors and they go, by the way, your knee is like bone on bone now. Like you, I wouldn't be running if I were you. You'd be like, okay, I better change what I do rather than, I'll keep running. That's the difference. I mean, he might be able to play, but maybe the doctors are saying we can't clear you to play because of this. But we're hoping because, the surgery could be very successful. There has been a similar case. Again, Mike Williams of the Chargers, he had a fractured bone in his neck after colliding with a goalpost when he was in college. And he came back and he played in the NFL. So who knows? But we remember.
It's funny that you say that because the first thought that went through my mind that he collided with a goalpost was like, how many of these injuries existed before they moved him back?
Right, I know. Right, when it was used to be up
and
the front
no
part
one
of
knew.
The end zone.
And back then, it was more of just rub some dirt on it, get back out there.
God, we've advanced so much from that insanity.
You're
Here's
still
some
breathing.
Smelling salts.
Come on, yeah.
How many fingers do you see? Four. It was two. Good enough. Go out there. It's close enough. As long as you didn't say 15, we're good. But you know, I mean, listen. I remember this guy. I mean, I remember you and I talking about him, like when we, because you and I came back from watching Clemson, Alabama in the winter of 2019 for the 2018 season. And it was just an absolute fantastic performance by the Tigers. They won 44-16, and you know Trevor Lawrence, the freshman, threw three touchdowns and you know nearly 350 yards. And Justin Ross was the big receiver of that game. He led the team in catches and stats, and all had the big numbers. And so this is a big blow to the Tigers.
But what if that's the source of all his power, like Samson?
Right. Oh, yeah, it's true. Good
Man.
Point. Yeah.
Then you correct the surgery, and then all of a sudden it becomes like you or me.
That's true. What if? Yeah, exactly right. What if he definitely swings back?
I can guarantee if you and I ran across the middle, we're dead.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, no doubt. I would never do it.
It could be the tiniest of hits, but we'll go down like Vontaze Burfict hitting Antonio Brown.
That's why I used to have a ton of respect for Wes Welker, man. That guy used to get slaughtered.
Well, that explains right the Spaceballs helmet he had.
Oh, remember that?
I think it kept growing and growing. It was like the Grinch's heart.
Yeah, the helmet was like... Wait, he looked like a little kid in a football costume.
Right? He did.
Right? Wearing that big
he put on dad's
helmet.
Uniform.
Oh, God. That's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, listen, I want to be optimistic. I mean, and Dabo's the right coach to be. You know, he's cautious but optimistic. You know, he doesn't want to put the guy's career in a box. Because, you know, here's the one thing. I mean, as a coach, you want to say, look, he's got a future in the sport. He's going to make some money in the sport. Let's not just throw the baby out with the bathwater here. He hasn't even had his surgery yet. Let's not write him off. Yeah, let's not write him off. Because again, what if today, if all the news is he's done forever and he goes, wait a minute, I got a senior year to play or, you know, whatever he's coming up. I think he's going to be a senior. And then I'm going to go to the draft. Whether he's a junior or a senior, they were pointing at the 2021 draft that he was going to be a major, you know, a wide receiving talent in the first round. So you don't want today to be the muddied noise of your career, right? I mean, you want to be able to say, look, I had the surgery, actually went a lot better than I thought, and the doctors are saying I'm okay, and, you know, it's... I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how his neck injury is like Peyton's neck injury or some other neck injuries. I mean, they're all different. But,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Wasn't Peyton something similar, though?
Something similar, yeah. I remember, listen, people talked about people. There was a little bit, there was a very brief, but not, it wasn't long. It was a little brief, dark moment for Peyton Manning when he was going through that.
Because
would you play football at his age with this injury and this surgery?
Because anytime you mention football and neck injury, the two have never worked out well with each other.
Right. And so I had herniated disc surgery.
Oof.
Well, it was horrible. It was horrible. I remember we had a minivan at the time, and I remember I used to have to ride in the minivan in the back seat, and the only relief I got from the pain is if my right arm was up, like I was raising my hand in class. That was the only way I would get relief. So I would have to hang on to the little rack thing that's in
the OS cars. Bar.
Yeah, I would have to hang on to that. That's the only way. I'd have to be in the back seat. So after a while, I thought it would go away. Like, I just thought I pinched a nerve and it would just go away. And so I went a couple of days, maybe one or two days. And I'll never forget, it was a Friday night and I'm home and I'm sleeping on the chair like this, like Lazy Boy. And I'm in so much agony. My wife calls our neighbor and wakes her up at like 1 a.m. and says, would you come and sleep at our house to just be with our kids? I have to take Tony to the emergency room. And I go, oh, no. And I went to the emergency room and they gave me an X-ray. And then I ended up with an MRI. They said, you need surgery, stat. That's not going to be good. That's done. And
the injuries of radio.
I had a friend of mine, my friend Randy came to visit, and he was, I'll never forget this. He came to visit and I'm laying in the hospital bed, and you know how getting to a hospital is kind of a pain. You have to park in a garage and you have to go up the elevators and then whatnot. And I remember laying there and all I wanted was a milkshake. I wanted a milkshake so bad. I don't know why I craved it. I just think I wanted something very cold and whatnot. And he got up and left and went and got me a milkshake, which I always liked. I to this day, it's been like 10 years. To this day, I appreciate it because I always said, like, I don't know if I would have done it. Like, I hate leaving, going to get some. Like, it's such a hassle. You got to check out of the parking garage and then drive and then come back.
Unless you're able to park right up front.
Right. Yeah,
and just walk right in like you're going into somebody's house.
If there's a parking lot right in front of the door, I'm in. But if I have to go to a garage on like level 3 and then I have to take an elevator down to walk across to another, that's too much work for me. So I always tell him every time I talk to him, I said, I'll never forget you getting me that milkshake when I had my surgery because you made me want to be a better person by doing that. Never forget, folks, it's the little things that can last a long time.
listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call on Twitter. You can hit us up at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I love to hear from you as we continue along. So the NBA is going to be voting on Thursday of this week on how this Disney World plan is going to go into effect. What is it going to look like? Clay Bennett, who is the owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is really hoping that all the teams will get to be part of, small market teams will make sure that everybody gets involved. I think, you know, Oklahoma City is in the process. You know, they're in one of the groups, but he's kind of speaking out for, Mark Cuban wants a 30-team restart, which, and he's not a small market guy in Dallas. But it looks like that's not going to happen. Now, I'm a little disappointed in this. I think there's a little sense of unity that could happen for this. I think there's an image thing here. I think there's two ways you could view this, and there's two sides of the coin. One, you could view it as, look, it's business, right? We're not trying to make a big stand here. We're not trying to make a big statement here. We're not trying to show the world COVID can't beat us. We just want to get to the playoffs. We want to get to the playoffs, do the playoffs, get out of Disney World without staying forever, get these people back to their families, have a season, crown a champion. However it looks in the history books, but we're done. We've completed our mission of getting it over with. And then there's the other side of the coin where there is this feeling of, you know, hey, look, we know the world has been starving for sports and entertainment, and we want to come together, and all of us are in. The NBA is all in. So even the Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers and these teams that have, Golden State Warriors, who have no chance of making the playoffs, we are coming back in a 30-team plan to bring every team and every player that we can back into this environment, back on your television, so we care about all you markets out there, even the ones that have bad basketball teams. We want to show you that we are all in on this. I think the NBA is leaning towards the first one. I think the NBA is leaning towards, we don't want everybody here. We don't need everybody here. We may take 22 teams and play out the rest of a quote unquote regular season to see who gets in. We might expand the playoffs a little bit, but for the most part, Cleveland, you stay home. Knicks, thanks for trying, but you're not coming. And you out there in Golden State, get your dynasty back on track next year, but not this year. You're not coming down here. I think that's more likely to happen. And I think there is a economic way of viewing this. If you're the NBA, you don't need everybody down there if you can help it. And I also think you say to these teams, look, what we're asking of you, if you were to sit down with the Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors, for example, and you said, look, we don't need you down there. Like, you don't want to come down here. Whatever life you're living right now, you don't need to pack up, get on a plane, fly down to Orlando, get tested every day, play three or four games that'll just wrap up a season and then get the heck out of there. We don't see why you need to do that. And do you really want to do that? Now, some players on the Warriors might say, yeah, I love being competitive. I love playing basketball. I want to get back to some sort of basketball. Okay, fine. But from a business standpoint, they would say, look, the less teams that we can have in this environment, the less players that we can have cooped up in hotels, the better it is for the league. And I think that's where they're leaning. I think that's where the owners are going to vote. I don't think they're going to go right to a playoff. I do think they're going to wrap. They're going to have some sort of competitiveness. So I think you're going to have some teams that are still in the hunt for a playoff spot. Whatever the playoffs look like, right? Is it 8 teams per conference, 16 overall? Will they expand it maybe to 18 teams, 20 teams, whatever it might be? I think there's going to be some regular season games that the NBA are going to play so that the competitive juices of playing, you know, trying to vie for something is going to be there. This is exactly what Damian Lillard wanted. Remember when Damian Lillard said, I ain't going to Orlando to be part of this little project for nothing? Like, don't make me leave Portland and my family and just hang out down in Florida in a hotel room playing meaningless basketball games. I have no interest in doing that. I'll go, but I ain't gonna play if I have to. You know, if I have to go, I'll go, but I ain't playing. Well, you don't want players to do that. You don't want that to be a feeling of, yeah, we're going to have these stars in Orlando, but he ain't actually going to play. Like, you don't want that. So the NBA is going to try to say, look, these games are going to matter. They're going to be some sort of, because look, think about it. Like, if you're playing, if you have, let's say, if one of your games is the Denver Nuggets against Golden State, what's the point? Right? I mean, what, yeah. Nuggets are locked in. They're in the playoffs. They're going to be, as where we stand now, a two seed. Golden State doesn't really want to be there. What would be the point of that other than some sort of notch on the belt of a regular season that'll be wrapped up? Right? Nobody wants it. You want the games to be like, hey, this is must-see TV. You're going to want to see this. The Portland Trailblazers are vying for the playoffs as well as the New Orleans Pelicans. Isn't this awesome? That's what you want.
Think the NBA is going to think ahead and, you know, I guess kind of, I mean, would you have, if you don't have all 30 teams in it, I mean, we got to have all 30 teams. I'm trying to figure this out here. Like, is there a way for the lower tier teams to play against each other just to kind of get into the, almost like a first four in?
Yeah,
type scenario.
That's what I'm wondering. Like if you're the Lakers, do you just go, we don't want to play any regular season games?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to give New Orleans and Portland and whoever else is playing around for a wild card spot, or not wild card spot, but for like a bottom tier spot, let them do that. But we're not playing regular season unless it's a warm up. You know, this is a warm up for the playoffs to get the legs ready for the postseason. And it would be, I can only imagine from an NBA player standpoint, like going from nothing to postseason basketball is like taking my car and revving it up to 120 miles an hour from zero. You know, the transmission is going to fall off, right? I mean, I can see some players going, look, I want some sort of games, right? Before you ask me to jump into a postseason after a 2 month, 3 month layoff. But this thing doesn't look like it's going to happen until like late July. So we got a ways to go.
But I mean, they're been planning on it because they were going to postpone the season anyway. For them, it's kind of works out.
Yeah. Now, some of the players have been able to play basketball, like they've home gyms. Some players haven't. You know, there was a report like Giannis doesn't have access to a hoop in his quarantine. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it doesn't sound right.
Couldn't order one from a sporting goods store.
Right. He couldn't get, like everybody else is getting plants and lawn care around the country. What, Giannis couldn't get some sort of portable hoop delivered to his house?
Couldn't work out a deal with the local high school and just say, hey, just keep it closed, but for me, I'll come in, I'll make a donation.
Right. Meanwhile, some other NBA players are like, well, I've got an entire gym in my house. Like I built a basketball court in my house. So I'm good.
He's probably sitting there like, well, it was on my to-do list, but I was too busy trying to win an MVP award.
Yeah, right. I was going to have a whole gym built in my addition to my home, but instead I was, I can totally see that. depends on
who
you're
was it?
Quarantined.
One of them, God, somebody, when they were doing the stupid horse competition.
Yeah.
Didn't one of them just had literally a basketball hoop that you would find at a sporting goods store, right?
Yeah, like one of those would
just
like
sitting in the driveway,
fill it with water, or fill it with sand,
so it doesn't tip over.
I think I've had two of those in my family history.
I got one on the side of my house right now that doesn't get used, at all. And I sit there every single time I, you know, go to the backyard from that way, like I'm bringing the lawnmower into the backyard. I look at it, I'm like, I just need to dismantle this and put it at the curb. Because there's no point in having it.
So we bought one years ago, and I put it together, and I told my wife, this is the one that's going to be, the grandkids will be using this. I'm never putting one of these dumb things together again. We moved to New Jersey. We couldn't take it with us. We moved to New Jersey. We bought another one, and I said, I told you the first time I'm not putting, those things were, I found them to be impossible. I found them to be a real pain putting those things together. But I became kind of a good at it the second time I put it together. But now we moved back here, and we can't have one, so we don't get one. So, yeah. But those aren't easy.
I remember growing up, we had an area of my family house. We had an area that just was being untouched. It was just dirt all the time. So my stepfather decided, he's like, you know what? Let me just pave this.
Oh, Oh, nice.
So he had someone come in and paved it and put up a basketball hoop. I mean, it was no way was it even half court size. But at least it was a permanent hoop. The thing adjusted. I mean, we actually played on that. And I think that's the only way to do it is if you have a designated area for it, then you can go out there and shoot hoops. But the problem with us is, like, you know, it sits on the side of the house. My kids don't want to drag it out.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And, you know, if we have it sitting in the driveway, I say, you know, it sits there. It goes unused because, you know, cars are in the driveway or whatnot. And you guys don't use it. So I put it on the side of the house and then it just gets forgotten.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, you NBA stars have no excuse. If Ron and I can put together these basketball hoops, you certainly can do the same thing.
That's right. Just get it out on the street.
Just get it out on the street. Put it out there.
They're such a pain.
They are a pain. You got to bang the pole in. And
the other thing, too, is like once you fill it up, I mean, they're heavy. They're impossible to move.
Yeah, and then there's the worst is when no matter how you notch that bad boy down, there's always the feeling during a storm it's going
to
fall.
Oh, all the time, yeah. You have to lay it down.
You have to lay it down. You know, there was so many times we'd have a storm coming, and I'd be like, Chris, go down there and lay down the basketball hoop.
Exactly.
He'd run down there and lay it down. The storm was coming in, laying down a 10-foot basketball, lowering it with a crank so it's a little easier to do that. That's crazy. Giannis, you get one of those. Don't be like, I have no access to a hoop.
Come on, MVP.
Come on, man. You can have access to a hoop. It's totally cool. Be interested to see what Thursday's vote is going to be by the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I think all systems go. I mean, the NBA players are smart, too. They're looking over at baseball going, they don't have it together yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
we're going to own the summer.
Yeah. Because what? I mean, it's going to be us and hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I have no problems with that. I love Stanley Cup playoff. That's really the time that we watch hockey. But I don't even know how hockey's going to work if they're only going to use two cities. I mean,
yeah, true.
You have 24 teams. Are you just going to be running back-to-back? I mean, is it literally going to be NCAA style? Games where it's just, you know, one arena gets five games a day.
I think that's going to be it. I think it's going to be
it. We'll have games at 8 a.m.
I know.
Well, that'll be awesome.
If you are keeping teams within a five game, like if you're five games out of the last wild card spot, you're pretty much eliminating like almost the whole bottom tier of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Like Charlotte, Chicago, New York, Detroit, Atlanta, Cleveland, all wouldn't be going to Orlando. And then in the West, you'd have Minnesota and Golden State along with Phoenix. Everyone else, San Antonio, Sacramento, New Orleans, Portland, they all could go to Orlando and try to compete for one spot that currently Memphis has. But if you expand the playoffs to like an extra team,
currently it's 16, right?
Right.
So if you go 16, if you go to 24,
yeah.
I mean that I don't know. That's where it gets kind of iffy. It's like, you know, those remaining six teams. Do you do a play-in with those remaining six teams?
Right. You bring them down to play in some sort of play-in, get into the tournament kind of game. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
we'll see what the
leave
vote is.
Two spots open.
In a couple of days. Is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us as we continue along on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I am curious how this is going to look, though, at the ESPN World Complex down in Orlando with this NBA plan. So again, as we were talking about earlier, voting on Thursday to determine how this will look when they do finally come back. I'm curious about what these games are going to, how they're going to look like, you know, what they're going to look like. It is, you know what it's going to remind me of? Summer League. You ever watch a Summer League game in Vegas?
Yeah, where it looks like it's at a high school gym.
Right. It's exactly like that, except with people you know, right? Instead of people trying to vie for a roster spot, well, you might have one or two guys you remember from college basketball. It's going to be more or less the stars of the day playing in the same kind of thing. But even in Summer League, Summer League is actually a cool event to go to. If you're a big NBA fan, it's a cool event to go to watch, because you can go, you can watch them play, you can watch your team, even though it's all kind of like rookies and guys who are trying to make the team, like from the G League. It isn't the NBA stars. It's just a summer league. But people do make a pilgrimage to Vegas. Vegas is a fun place, even when it's 1,000 degrees in July. And they go watch their favorite NBA team. And sometimes the stars will show up just to be there, be on hand, hang out a little bit. I know LeBron has gone to a couple of summer league games. There's a little bit of a fun atmosphere to it. This obviously is going to be different because no one's going to be there. But I'm also curious. I'm just nuts about this kind of thing. I'm curious with the combination of the amusement parks opening up there and the NBA playing, how those two worlds aren't going to cross. Like, the NBA players are just going to get shuttled. Like, will they shut down? The NBA will get like 3 or 4 hotels, and that's it. Like, that's it. Nobody else will get these hotels, and they'll just get transported in, transported back. Right, while other sections of the park will be like, well, these are for the people who are going to ride Space Mountain over here, while, you know, you've got Giannis and the Bucks playing Toronto over here, and those two worlds won't, you know, come in contact with each other. It's big enough. It's a big enough resort that can happen. But yeah, I'm curious how it's actually going to look. It's Wake Up Call.